A big day for the state of Ohio. Some guy by the name of LeBron James signed back there. That's kind of a big deal. But in Columbus, Brandon Dubinsky's six-year deal. Maybe bigger. Aaron Portsline joins us now. Mr. Portsline, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm covering the biggest story in Ohio sports today, I think.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that LeBron guy's pretty big, though. So
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's not a bad player. But who knows if he's even signed for 6 years? We don't even know how long he's signed for yet. So we just
Wouldn't
know
it be
he's
great if the Cavs said, you know, on second thought, nah.
No, I see. You know what? I don't buy it at all. I think the Cavs and their fans, they burnt jerseys. They wrote articles about the guy, calling him all sorts of names. Both sides need to forgive. Holding grudges in life doesn't do anybody any good.
It's only sports, right?
Exactly. Like, LeBron James will do more for them playing for them than he would not playing for them. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, here's something else. There have been 141 professional sports seasons. Okay, so Browns, Indians, Cavs, they had a hockey team here for a while, without a championship. Longest run in all of North America. So think about that one for a while.
I know, that is crazy. Dubinsky, 6 years, just under $6 million. I think it's 5.8 per season. Yep. Obviously, he's their number two center, I would say, and they're hoping Johansson, whenever they get him signed, I'm assuming they will get him signed, whether it's a bridge gap or a long-term deal at some point. We saw Dubinsky, and man, he relishes that second-line center, go up against the other team's superstar and try to beat the hell out of him type of game.
Yep. Yes. And that number, 5.85 a year, may be alarming to some, when you look at a guy that's had 250-point seasons. This guy, though, is in the dressing room this sounds cliched in hockey, I know, but he, not just in the room, it's on the ice as well. He brings this team up. He pulled the sweater over his head with pride when very few people were. He was traded here from the New York Rangers in the Rick Nash trade. It's called the Brandon Dubinsky trade in Columbus now because of what this guy has meant to this organization. For so long, this team played with a barely detectable heartbeat, at least in the top of the lineup. And Dubinsky has done away with that. He has charged up this building. He has elevated the play of people around him. He's confrontational in the dressing room, maybe a bit too much for some. But the level of pride in hockey has soared with this guy. They love him on their side, and they're willing to pay for it. They reached out on July 1st, the moment they were allowed to talk extensions with him, and that really, really spurred things along here. That impressed him deeply that they reached out on the first day, and it came together pretty quickly.
Is Anisimov long-term there in Columbus as the third-line center in your mind? Like, to me, it looks like it's a great scenario. There's no reason to want to move them. They've got a combination of skill, size, and nastiness between the three of them.
Yeah, well, they love, and this is really the first time this organization has had a number one center, much less three guys that they really, really like down the middle. They think it gives them a big advantage. I don't think Anisimov is off limits in terms of moving him, but they don't want to. I mean, it's not something that they're looking forward to. His numbers typically are pretty close to Dubinsky's in a third line role, power play type guy. And it's, for them, it's a luxury, and I don't see any reason why they would look to move that.
What's the update on Johansson?
Well, as far apart as Edmonton and Columbus are, that's about where they're at. I mean, they're still on term. They're still stuck on term. The player will not accept a bridge, and the team will not give him a long-term contract. So someone's going to have to blink here. For there to be movement. He's got 3 years of RFA left, so they could sign him to left, so they could sign him to a three-year contract, and he would still be an RFA. They're willing to do that, but the player and his agent have offered a four-year demand, and they're not moving off that. So until something changes, you know, in that regard, then they got to get to the money, which may not be easy either. So that this one could go on a while.
Well, Aaron, he doesn't have arbitration rights yet. You can't hold out past November. This is one of the few times where the NHL teams have the advantage. We saw this with Montreal and PK Subban a few years ago, and right. You know, if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, there's no reason to give in.
Right. I mean, the only potential risk, of course, is an offer sheet. But when you look at the scenarios, you look at what a team would have to be willing to part with in order to sign him to an offer sheet that would be hard for the Blue Jackets to match, you're talking 4 first-round draft picks. But that's the leverage that the player has, almost the only leverage that the player has right now. And to be clear here, the team, it's not that the team isn't sold on Ryan Johansson as a future star. Their concern with him is, this is a player that they feel, and these are their words, that they feel they have pushed and prodded to get to the point where he was last year, at times dominating number one center. But if you recall, a year ago, he was a healthy scratch in a minor league hockey game, a playoff game in the AHL. They feel like they've had to do so much to get him up to that level, and they frankly don't feel like he's ready for a long-term contract, that he may rest on his laurels once he gets guaranteed money.
Oh, Aaron, I am in full backing of the team at this point. This kid's had one year of a 30-goal season. Great, yippee! You know, that doesn't mean anything. Go out and prove it. And when you look around the league, like, he's not Sidney Crosby. You know, he hasn't even averaged a point a game or anything like that. It's I know people in Edmonton. I was even one who said it. And sure, now it looks great, but you know, get the orders when they handed out their deals, especially out of the locker where they didn't know what the salary cap was. It was a little bit of a risk. And you know, everybody assumes that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins will be better, but you don't guarantee know it. So the one time you have the benefit to hold the player accountable as far as them, you know, asking for the moon and teams giving in, this is the one time the teams do it. And if you're Columbus, you do it. And maybe you have to only give him a 2-year deal instead of 3, which I'm sure they would be fine with. Because if in 2 years he puts up back-to-back 30-goal seasons, they will gladly pay him then.
Well, gladly pay him. And the other thing, too, there's all sorts of behind-the-scenes machinations with these things. When a player asks for 4 years, that takes them right up to UFA, that is seen, forget the money, that's seen as a slap. That's seen as, I'm doing one more deal, I want the contract and the hammer with my second NHL contract. And the team is saying, no way. So let this go into July, wait for your offer sheet, and we'll be in touch. But when you're ready to talk about a bridge, let's come talk. But so far, neither side has shown any reason or any idea of switching things up. So
Aaron Portsline joins us out of Columbus. Aaron, you know, Nikita Nikitin's here in Edmonton. He was basically a number 6 defenseman, number 5, although the previous 2 years he had played top 4 pairing minutes in Columbus. What should Oilers fans realistically expect? Was last year more what he is, or were the previous 2 years when he's played with Fedor Tuukka, or is that the reason why he looked so good, because he was playing with him?
Well, you know, I think he's a pretty good player.
Okay.
I think that the drop in production, and there's a little mystery about this guy, I think. The drop in production, you can point to his ice time. It did go down significantly last year, and that's because Ryan Murray rose up as a big-time NHL rookie. He was a really good player, and Nikitin dropped down. Nikitin, he can be maddening at times. He's a pretty good shutdown physical defenseman, but what really opens your eyes is when the guy lets a one-timer go and you go, oh my God, was that Nikitin? Why doesn't he do that more often? He's got a really good one-timer. I dare say, next to Wisniewski on this team, the best one on the team. And he didn't use it a lot. Now, he didn't always get a ton of power play time. But there's always that sense that there's a little bit more there from Nikitin. The year that he got traded from St. Louis to Columbus, he was a really good player. It was astounding to some, the offensive numbers he's put up. And he hasn't done that since. Last year, there were times he really struggled. He got off to a slow start in the year 2013 with the 48 games. He finished strong. But the reason he's moving on, it's not because they don't like Nikita as a player. He's moving on because they think Dalton Prout, David Savard, Tim Erickson, Cody Goleboff, they've got a push coming here. They couldn't guarantee him top 4 ice time, so they didn't want to pay him as a top 4 defender. It's all about the organizational depth, and there's guys here that they feel are ready to play.
Yeah, that's, you know, the shot thing's interesting because the Oilers, that's what they every player, everybody talked about. They need someone who's willing to shoot the puck on the power play. And I saw his power play numbers that first year in Columbus. He got the opportunity. He used it. And I guess if they can convince him to use it, man, he'll get a huge opportunity here with some skilled forwards to shoot the puck.
There will be times, trust me, when someone sets him up with a one-timer, even a quick snap, and he lets it go, and you'll go, oh, my God, was that Nikitin? Because it's a hell of a shot. But you go weeks between seeing it. Weeks.
Yeah, nah, that's not a good sign at all. Aaron, outside of Johansson, do you see the Blue Jackets doing anything else between now and the start of the season?
Well, they've had exploratory talks with Sergei Bobrovsky. I don't think that one's coming together as quickly as Dubinsky's did. But they can talk extension with him. He's an RFA this coming summer, so that changes things. Dubinsky would have been a UFA next summer. But, you know, this is a guy that they trust as the number one goaltender. I think that is a priority. But other than that, I you know, they're not going to do anything free agent-wise. They like to build up the makeup of this team. So Johansson, Bobrovsky, I think Yarmo's on his way to Finland, and things could be pretty quiet around here for a change heading into training camp.
Aaron, always great to catch up with you. Enjoy some downtime and enjoy the part. I'm sure it's going to be a statewide party now that LeBron and Dubinsky are locked up long term.
It's time for Cincinnati to do something now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they're just celebrating. They haven't had one of their players go to jail for a while, so that's big for them.
Well, there's that. They've had a lot of injuries with the Reds, too.
Yes, yeah, the Reds definitely. They've been banged up. Led by the Canadian Votto, they should be better.
There's two Canadians on the cast, too.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, hey. Well, that's why they're getting better. They're adding some Canadian talent.
I think. Thanks, Jason.